Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hello, I'm Alison Larkin, writer, comedian, narrator, and host of the Jane Austen podcast. Join me as we embark on a journey through Austen's timeless stories, starting with Pride and Prejudice. The Jane Austen podcast with Alison Larkin is available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, world, and welcome back to another episode of Thanks for Coming In. I'm your host, Jillian Clare. If this is your first time tuning into the show, hello and welcome. This is the show where I talk to fellow actors about bad auditions, good auditions, things that have gone awry, things that have gone great, and everything in between. I don't have much to say at the top of this episode. I've been pretty busy with school and a couple projects that I'm working on. And, just been grinding, been hustling. I'm working on some really cool stuff that I'm excited to share soon. But until then, my lips are sealed. I have been reading a whole lot lately, which I've been very excited about. I'm currently reading the Shadow and Bone series and the Pink Carnation series. And they're both fantastic and lovely. And I keep flip-flopping between the series and, you know, it's been fun. Today on the show, we have Sydney Michaela. You may know her voice from Kipo and the Age of Wonder Beasts. She plays Wolf on that show, which is on Netflix. She is also Trina on General Hospital, and it was a great joy to talk to someone so young and so insightful, and I'm really stoked to see where her career goes and all that she accomplishes. So here is my conversation with Sydney Michaela. Welcome to the show, Sydney!
Hello! Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited to meet you. You know, my mother is still a big General Hospital fan, so I see you on the TV every once in a while, and you're so fantastic on the show.
Thank you so much, and tell her thank you so much for the support.
It's been, you know, it's a huge show. My grandma watched it. My whole family grew up watching General Hospital. It was always on the TV during the day.
Mm-hmm.
So did your family grow up watching soap operas as well?
My family's actually, specifically my mom, they're big Young and the Restless fans. So they know of General Hospital, but yeah, I feel like you have to focus on one because they get so complex. But I remember once seeing Victor Newman in an airport and my mom just freaking out.
I love that. When I was a kid, I was on Days of Our Lives, and it was the same thing. My mom had never watched it because she was always a General Hospital fan.
Huh. There you go. You got to
pick one. Just never know. So what, you're on this show. You're on General Hospital. What is it like to work on this show at your age? You're still a teenager, right?
Yes. Honestly, I feel like, you know, it has really improved my maturity as an actor, being surrounded by so many experienced actors, and just, you know, soap operas are really fast. It's like, you know, one take, maybe two if they have to. So I think it's really forced me to be on my P's and Q's and just be prepared at all times.
That's good. Yeah, it's a great training ground for actors. And that's, I always say that soap operas are amazing because of that. You get to really work your craft and know what you're doing.
Absolutely. I definitely feel like I'm ready for anything because I've been on a soap.
I love that. And you're also the voice of Wolf in, let me make sure I'm saying this right, Kipo and the Age of Wonder Beasts.
Yes, that is it. Actually, when I first read the script and like I was in the, you know, not producer session. When I finally booked it, I was like, is it Kippo? And they're like, it's Kippo. And I was so embarrassed. I was like, they're going to fire me. Like, this is so humiliating. First day on the job and I say her name wrong. But it is,
oh, no.
It is Kippo. You got it right. Most people say Kippo. So I, but yeah.
That's so cool. I watched the first episode and it's so cute.
Yes.
What is it like to voice such a large character on a show that's kind of like an, it's almost like an anime show.
Yeah, it is. I really enjoy it. Hopefully I get to do more specifically anime stuff in the future. I think it'd be really fun. But just in general, it's really different than what I've done before, especially what I do on General Hospital. So it's really fun just to play an action-packed 10-year-old. And I just find it so interesting when I get roles like that, because I'm like, you know, I really don't ever hear it, but when you see the animation with your voice, you're like, oh, I can see that, and how that character kind of manifests itself, you know? So I just, it's really cool to see it all come to fruition.
That's so cool. I always wanted to voice an animated character like that. It's just so fun to watch your voice be with those images.
Yeah, I mean, if there's any time to get into voiceover, it would be now, you know? This new wave of doing voiceovers at home, like I'm doing big group sessions these days at home. So I think now is really the time to anything from audiobooks to video games to stuff on any channel. Like the animation's really popping. So for you or anyone that's listening, if you wanted to jump into voiceover, now is definitely the time.
That's so cool. And so you play Wolf on the show and you're supposed to be 10. So do you age your voice down a little bit or do you do your regular voice?
So actually I did a deeper voice because Wolf always had a deep voice because she's like this tough survivor, which is interesting. I also did the show, started when I was 12 though, so. But as I got older, they just wanted me to do my regular voice. But yeah, surprisingly, most of the voiceover stuff that, you know, I get and I've been getting is like usually my deeper register. They usually don't want to hear me up here, which is interesting. It's very, very
interesting. That is interesting. But I feel like for women especially, our voices are a little higher normally than men's voices, I think, kind of. I know my voice is very high. Sometimes I listen to myself and I'm like, oh my God, you sound like a 10-year-old. This is not good.
Yeah, no, it's true. I definitely like, you're like, okay, again, but like, that's so high and we can barely hear the words. I'm like, oops. So, you know, it's, you gotta learn, you know.
You gotta learn. So tell me how you got started in this industry. You're clearly on such a great path right now, but what made you want to become an actor?
Well, my mom was an actress, so she put me into the business when I was 5, and I just kind of stuck with it ever since. That was a short story. I feel like you wanted more meat in there, but I'm like, yeah, that's pretty much it.
That's great, though. So how did your mom get you in? Did she just get you an agent and you started doing like print stuff, commercial stuff at an early age?
I'm not really sure. I remember the first job I had was Yo Gabba Gabba, and I just kind of kept working from there. I think it's really not hard to get an agent when you're a kid because it's not like you're old enough to be able to memorize a monologue or anything. So you go in and you just go into office and they picked you. I definitely think that's how it was for voiceover, too. Because I remember going in kind of like, what's happening? I don't know what's going on. And then my agency was like, can you sing? And I just remember busting out in song. And they're like, all right, you're with us. And I'm like, I don't really know what that means, but thank you. So,
I love that. What was, you started at such a young age. Mm-hmm. What was the first job that you remember being like, wow, I really love doing this?
I would say doing the Gabby Douglas story with Miss Regina King and Gabby Douglas was just so life-changing. I mean,
wow,
everything from going to Canada to missing fifth grade for, you know, 6 weeks. but it was really all just so fun. So many good memories. And I really hope to work with everyone again from that movie. And I feel like I just have a feeling that we definitely will. You know, I've been seeing just so many awesome projects pop off. So I'm like, I definitely hope I get to work with everyone from that cast again. Just such a good experience.
And you mentioned working with Regina King. I mean, that must have been just like mind-blowing. I feel like she's one of those icons, especially right now. I mean, she just had One Night in Miami and she was at the Oscars and it was amazing. And it's just like, it's so cool to watch women's careers just explode right now.
Yeah.
I mean, how was it to work with somebody who's like an icon in that way?
Well, I think she's really relatable, which I really appreciate. I know she's telling me, like, she's actually friends with my acting teacher, Miss Wendy Raquel Robinson, which I was like, oh, that's so cool. And we ended up having gone to, like, the same elementary school, which was really crazy. So we were really interconnected, I think, more than I expected. She also gave me some really great advice. You know, we were doing close-ups for the movie. So close-ups, well, just for those who, like, are listening that don't know, you know, the camera will be on one person and not necessarily on the other actor. But she was saying that regardless if the camera's on you or not, to always give your full energy and go full out, because when your scene partner looks good, you look good. And that is just something I've really carried with me. Like, wow. Like, I never thought about it before, like that before. But what a great way just to go about it.
Yeah, it's really funny that you mentioned that, because I was thinking about that earlier today. I don't know why, but I was thinking about how some actors, especially when they get more popular, will choose not to do the scene if the camera is on the other actor. And I just think it's such a bad thing to do to other actors, because it's like the whole acting experience is sharing something with somebody else in a scene.
Right.
I mean, that connection. And if you don't give your full when the camera isn't on you, then they're not going to be able to give their full too.
Right. And that's, you know, what she said really stuck with me. And I think her being able to be so attentive and such a great scene partner has really helped her to dive into other things. Like you said, One Night in Miami was absolutely incredible, because she understands the importance of chemistry and, you know, scene partners and work and, you know, partner work and teamwork, which I really appreciated throughout the movie. I don't really feel like one character stuck out, but it was just like everyone had their individual stories that kind of came together.
And I think, you know, an actor has, you know, that keen sense of awareness about those types of things. And that's what makes them such great directors and producers, because you're able to say, like, hey, I've been here and I know what this person needs to be able to get this scene done correctly.
Exactly.
So you're so young and you have so many things. I mean, you're a baby to me, but you have so many things that you're doing already. Is there a way, like a certain way that you want your career to go, or certain things that you want to accomplish?
That's a good one. I do want to get into producing. I think that's just really important and really great. You know, acting is awesome, but what people don't realize about acting is, like, you know, 50% of the time it's really not even off your talent. And now, especially with social media and followers, it really isn't based off talent a lot of the times. So, you know, as great as it is to be trained and have skills, it can also come down to, you know, did she have the followers? Did she have the right height, the right this, the right that? So I do want to get behind the scenes eventually, because it kind of gives you a little more of a steady path. You don't always have to be at everyone's, like, you know, whim. Is she good enough? Do we like it? Do we already have a brunette on the show or something? You know, it's so out of your control. So I think that'll just be fun to delve into eventually. But I love acting too, so
yeah,
I'm excited.
It's definitely hard to be an actor, and it's always mind-boggling to me that after so many years of actors and this business praising actors with all the award shows, that we're still so reliant on everybody else to make a decision for us, because we don't get to make those decisions for our own career. So I think it is important, especially nowadays. Like, it's so simple to put together a web series and shoot something with friends, or a short film and just start getting it into the markets. Or really, I mean, you can even do a feature film for like $15,000. Like, there's ways to do things. And I think it's important that especially young actors like yourself start creating, because you guys are the next generation of voices.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, it definitely can be kind of weird. And, like, you know, I was just seeing that today when I watch shows. Sometimes I'm like, this, even though they're in high school, they don't look or talk like high schoolers. Like, this is so unrealistic. So just things like that, that hopefully when the younger generation does kind of start coming into more power, we'll see more realistic representation of a lot of people and age groups and demographics in general.
I hope so, too. It's so funny. When I was your age, I was watching 90210, and I was thinking, how in the heck am I ever going to be able to be on a TV show with teenagers when 31-year-olds are playing teenagers? Yeah. And now that I'm 28, I'm still going out for teens, which is insane to me. It's insane.
Yeah, and you know, it really does make me uncomfortable. I didn't understand it when I was younger, but now I get it. My mom and I were really talking about how they push, I feel like, sex scenes so much when the children are like, what, are supposed to be 14, 15, 16? Yeah. It, you know what I mean? Like, most of these shows aren't set in college, and it is really uncomfortable, and it's kind of just weird how it's like pushing the line, but it's also like, you know, babies. And so it's definitely, like, interesting. I mean, I guess I can at least appreciate that they're trying to use older people. But, I, you know, again, that's why I would just love to get into producing. Because I think there's just so much more of a story you can tell. And you don't really have to delve into the sex, you know, to make it a good story. You know, to make it.
Yeah. It's true. That's how I feel. I mean, there's this film that I did right here. We struggled so hard to get funding and backing because it wasn't about a girl having a bunch of sex or on drugs or an alcoholic. There was, it was just a regular person, and there's not a lot of those stories. So I think that you're on the right track here.
Yeah.
You're going to make something cool.
Yes, I'm going to do it.
Do you want to write or direct as well? Or do you want to stay kind of on the producer side?
You know, I think I could stay on the producer side, but eventually I think that I would delve, you know, into all of it. I'm really hoping, you know, when I get into college to kind of just look into, you know, maybe a few film classes or just get some notches under my belt. But I think once you kind of get to be behind the screen and you actually have some power, you can really delve into any of the roles, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When you're an actor, it's kind of like, okay. But when you get to producing or writing, then you can kind of start calling shots. So, you know,
it's true.
I gotta work my way, I gotta inch my way up, but when I do, I'll be there.
So are you gonna go to college? Are you gonna take time off from acting and go to college, or are you gonna do both at the same time?
I'm gonna try to do both at the same time. I've told my mom if I book something big, I'll wait. I will, you know, if it takes me 6 or 7 years to finish college because I book something huge, that's just not a big deal to me. I've never understood the rush of trying to finish in 4 years because then it's like, go back home. So, you know, it's, you know, whatever opportunities come first and whatever is just right in the right moment and the right time, I'll be there for it. But, you know, right now I'm going to, you know, college, and that'll be fun too.
Yeah. I never finished college because of booking things. And so now I'm back in college, but I feel like doing college kind of in these separate years and separate spaces has allowed me to really realize what my interests are outside of the entertainment industry.
Right.
And what I want to study.
Yeah. And that's great too, to find yourself and find your own path. I think that's supposed to be what college is all about. So, you know, hopefully everyone will find that in their own way.
Do you know what you want to study? Are you going to study like mostly film stuff, or are you going to do something different?
Sociology, actually. Very random.
Yes, girl.
So, yeah, sociology is the study of people, for those who don't know. And I think I just really wanted to have a broader perspective of society when I did produce, because I just felt like that's really where the accurate representation comes from, is understanding the history and demographics and what's happening currently, and having a you know, well-rounded perspective of everything. And I think that's really where authentic work comes from. But it's also just a very versatile BA degree, which kind of just kind of worked out. And I hear it's super easy, which is just icing on the cake, because, man, it sounds great. High school is stressful, so I'm ready for just a little bit of a break. Just a little bit.
I love that. I love that. Okay, so on this show, we like to share stories from auditions that have gone awry or good things. Do you have any audition stories that you would like to share with the world?
Ooh, oh man. Oh, there are so many. like, I'm just trying to think. I've had the luxury of not having to audition as much because of General Hospital, and I hate auditioning. It's so, I have so many. I don't know. I think one that was kind of crazy is that I kept auditioning for Nick Cannon. He kept having this, like, it was this supposed to be Nickelodeon series, but they had like 7 or 8 auditions. That's not a specific experience, but it was just really weird. I'll never forget. And I just kept going, I'm like, that's Nick Cannon. It was so weird. And then they never called me back. I don't even think the project ended up going anywhere, because I'm a pretty.
No way.
Yeah. So I was like, what? It was just, I'm not really sure what that was about. I also can say, I've gotten to the final stages for pretty much every Disney show that has a black girl that has been on screen or like was. I've been final, like final three, final four. Yeah, that's definitely difficult. Like, but yeah, it's totally fine. And I'm really appreciative now because 18-year-old me loves Disney. I think Disney's awesome. So I do love Disney. So I was, it's so cool to be on a Disney show. But I think where I'm at now is definitely not better, but I'd like to be on General Hospital. I think that fits where I'm at this moment. But yeah, that was definitely difficult to get to those finals. You know, when I was younger, that was like my big dream.
So. Right. Well, and especially for like kid actors, it's kind of touted as being like the number one thing that you need to book. If you're going to be successful, you need to be on Nickelodeon or Disney, end of story. That's just basically what you're told. That's what they sell you.
Exactly.
As a kid. So then when you make it to those points and you don't get it and you're just like, are you kidding me? I was this close.
Oh, okay. This is a story then. That's actually a good segue. So there was an audition, and I'll just say, I can actually say it probably. It was for Bunked. They are on their fifth season now, so congratulations to Disney and everything. But the character I was going for, they were like, she's from New York. So I was like, oh, I got it. I got a professional dialect coach, and I got the most authentic New York accent I could muster. And like I said, I made it to the final, so I was doing good. And right before I walk in, they go, oh, yeah, and cut the New York accent. I was like, wait, like right before I go in. And I was like in the waiting for like 2 hours. That was crazy. I was like, okay, don't do it. Don't do this. Don't do that. You have 5 seconds to go in. That was insane. I still think I did pretty good though. That was pretty nerve wracking to go in. And
oh my
like,
God. Was your
crazy.
Brain just like firing on all cylinders? Like, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. But do that. But don't do that.
Yeah, so it was kind of like, wait. Like, it was crazy. I know they're probably just busy, so I completely understand. But that was a pretty insane experience. Like, literally right before I stepped in. They're like, cut it. Okay, and it's cut.
Oh, no. Especially when you make it, because when you are testing for something, for those who don't know, it takes, like, or when you get to those final moments, it's a lot of different auditions throughout different times. They could have told you, like, during the callback to cut it.
Yes, that was a pretty insane, but I'm grateful for it. I feel every experience really just, prepares me. Something will come up where I will need that New York accent. So.
That's right. I love that. What do you have next? You're still doing General Hospital. Are you doing another season of Kipo?
That is sadly wrapped up. Ended with season 3. But I'm Maya on Craig of the Creek, and I play Olivia in The Barbarian and the Troll, which is on Nickelodeon on Friday. So that's really fun. And I have some other super exciting stuff coming up. I have no idea how long it's going to take, but as soon as I can talk about it, I will. Because it's just like, I'm so excited to talk about it. So excited.
Oh my God. Well, as soon as you know and as soon as you're allowed to talk about it, come back because I'd love to have you.
Yes, I'd love to be here. This is very fun.
And where can people follow you on social media?
They can follow me at Official Sydney Michaela on Instagram and Sydney Michaela on Twitter.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. It was such a joy to talk to you.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks again to Sydney for coming on the show and sharing her story with me. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening to it right now. If you don't already, go follow us on social media. Those links are in the show notes. And hey, we post really cool IGTVs every week exclusively from these episodes. And you get to see us talking face to face, Zoom to Zoom. It's pretty cool. So tune in there on Instagram and tell your friends, tell your family. And as always, thanks for coming in.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics, and sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.